I first encountered Goethe's Faust in 1981, when, as an actor on the BBC Radio Drama Company, I took part in an adaptation of Part One. It was a live performance at the Festival Hall as part of a celebration of the Romantic Age. Like most English actors, I was familiar with Christopher Marlowe's version of the Faust legend, Dr. Faustus, but Goethe's epic retelling was completely unknown to me. I realised at once that Goethe's was a much richer and more complex study of Faust than Marlowe's. What fascinated me then, and even more so now, is the completely different take Goethe has on this legend, which dates back to medieval times. How fresh and vigorous it seemed, and how surprising it was that it was no longer a straightforward battle between good and evil, Christianity versus the devil, as in Marlowe's version, but much more subtle. For instance, in the prologue, heaven is presented without any Christian references, but rather celebrates the spirit of nature, where the Lord, not God, note, makes a bet almost light-heartedly with the devil Mephistopheles that he will not be able to gain Faust's soul. It's more like a modern boardroom meeting with God as the managing director dealing with a pushy junior, and it sets the tone of the play. For Goethe has a splendid sense of irony. There is always a smile hovering on his lips. Humour abounds, channeled mainly through the cynicism of Mephistopheles. And in fact, the relationship between Faust and Mephistopheles, played in this production by Samuel West and Toby Jones, often resembles a comic double act, each trying to score points off the other. It's an aspect that unifies both parts of the play. Goethe's Faust feels so modern. We are all part of nature, Goethe is saying, and mankind must be balanced against the rest of nature, in harmony and not destructive or exploitative. Well, for a piece begun in the late 18th century, this has a surprisingly modern ring, dealing with ecology and echoes of global warming, etc. Goethe wrote Faust over a period of 60 years. He began it as a callow youth in his 20s and was still tinkering at it in the months before he died at the age of 82. It became a lifetime's work and is therefore unique as a record of one man's literary, intellectual and emotional development from youth to age. It is Goethe's story as much as Faust's, a literary self-portrait, like the series of portraits Rembrandt painted throughout his life examining his own changing face. Because his gestation was so long, both parts of Faust are of Wagnerian proportions. No one would leave the theatre in under 8 hours if it was played in its entirety. So my first task was to adapt it to a manageable size for Radio 3. I wanted to use the full power of radio to bring to life some scenes that would be virtually impossible to stage in any other medium without drastic revision or an unlimited budget. Well, take for example one of Goethe's many elaborate stage directions. Signals, explosions from the towers, horns and trumpets, martial music, a mighty army marches past. Well, even with computer graphics, that would be expensive for Hollywood. A single well-placed effect or piece of music in a radio play can in the simplest way suggest the whole scene to the listener's imagination. Part One has a love interest which gives it a strong narrative. It's also familiar to those who know Gounod's operatic version. Goethe added to the Faust legend the story of the doomed, innocent Gretchen, his own invention, creating a genre that was copied repeatedly by poets and writers throughout the 19th century. It was Goethe, really, who kick-started the age of the Romantics with his novel The Sorrows of Young Werther, which he was writing at the same time as this episode in Faust. Part Two, which in contrast to Part One is rarely heard, is quite different. It's episodic and fragmented, of which more later. Well, I'm not the first to go down the bumpy road of trying to make Goethe's Faust playable and comprehensible. I decided to concentrate on the essential thread of the narrative, however thin, which charts Faust's uneven progression to insight and knowledge. But in the end, the choices on the Faust journey are a matter of taste. I've aimed, with an excellent modern colloquial translation by John R. Williams, to give Faust a perspective for the 21st century.